You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show and happy almost New Year's.
Pretty close.
It's weird. Chasing it down.
I know.
Another year gone. I'm not sad about leaving 2020 in the dust.
2022. I'm not.
2022. Sorry. Yeah. 20, it's just been nonstop.
The last two years. Yeah. Both of them can kind of go in the can at some
level. See you later.
There's some cool stuff that happened. We got a she shed out of the deal, but.
And 2020, yes. But 2022.
We've made some major adjustments around here. You know, living on purpose is we figured some stuff out.
We did. We did some phenomenal things with the ministry in a way I don't think we could have seen or thought of without the Lord. 2020 kicked us in the butt to start that off.
We were scared.
Uh-huh.
I was scared. I'll just say that.
Uh-huh. And then we all learned to hate the word pivot because we did it so much.
Oof.
And then this last year, I mean, personally for our family was felt like we were in the flames always. I feel like we were
this was a tough stretch.
So, there's a song, there was another in the fire. I think Hillsong sings it. And it's basically the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I remember listening to that song and going, yeah, I hope you're in the fire because I feel like I am in the fire this whole year. So to say goodbye to this year, I'm really hopeful for this next year.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I don't know that I could compare, even in 2020, I couldn't compare 2022 to any other year of my life.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. Every year has its pains, but this was, I'm over it.
Yeah.
So.
And today we're talking about legacy. Yes. You know, we're talking about legacy, the L in the Marvel flow. We're to the L.
We are to the L.
Yeah. So when we talk about legacy, we're in essence, you know, we're talking about what you pass on, what's mm-hmm. the investment going forward into the future. So
we've gone through all the Marvel, which we should probably recap because we didn't say them yet.
Okay.
So if you haven't been with us, it's a personal growth series that we've been going through. And Marvel is, of course, the acronym that my father came up with because there's a whole bit about that if you want to laugh because we were laughing pretty hard about all the acronyms. But it's mission is the M, authenticity is the A, responsibility is the R, vulnerability the V, engagement E, and L is for legacy.
L is for legacy. It feels like Sesame Street, doesn't it? L is for legacy.
I did kind of lead it like that.
I don't think that would actually pop up as.
Probably not. L is for lizard.
L is for love.
Lemon?
Yeah. Love. Yeah.
It's usually what L's for. But we are on legacy, which, I mean, we talk a lot about here. I think we're more in a legacy move than you've ever been. And as far as everyone's cards on the table,
mm-hmm.
you know, it used to be, I would say your cards were on the table, focusing on legacy in a different way than I was paying attention to it as you built Loving on Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But we've all got cards on the table, but now.
Yeah, well, it has everything to do with being mindful that your life actually does go on, good or bad. Your life does go on past your life, mm-hmm. you know. And so there is some contribution to tomorrow. And you, while you're alive, you get to decide a whole bunch of it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're gone, you're like, okay, I hope that worked out. You know,
I don't even know if you have those thoughts.
I totally have those thoughts.
Now you do.
I do. It's more real than ever right now. It's like, okay, what's that bright light up there?
Whatever.
<Yeah.
laughs> Don't go near any icebergs.
Yeah. I think that Reggie Joyner's getting credit for this time, but recently I heard someone quote this. I didn't know where it had come from. But an inheritance is something you leave for someone. Mm-hmm. A legacy is something you leave in someone. Like, okay, this has to do with how other people experience you.
Yeah.
This has to do with the what people will remember about your contribution. So inheritance, obviously, it has a lot to do with maybe...
financial.
Yeah.
House.
Resources of some sort, or opportunities of some sort, and that sort of thing. But legacy is the thing that other people want to protect about your memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the piece I think is most valuable, I guess, is that people want to adjust their lives and or honor your investment in them.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch, it's the holiday season here recently, so right? So we watch Sherry, you know, mom, honor her mom. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have so many of the traditions in our family going on mm-hmm. have to do with Norma.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
You know, what she meant to all of us around the holiday. And she was the glue. She was the matriarch of the family. Mm-hmm. And everyone to this day still just only speaks highly of Norma.
Which is what's funny, because my kids obviously didn't ever meet her. Because
right.
she passed away when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably have the most... memory of her, even compared to Taylor and Levi, just because I was the oldest and around her a bit more, and I was able to do things with her that the boys were young. They were really young. But when, you know, we're cooking different things, and Addie made a pie for Thanksgiving this year.
A beautiful apple pie.
She did.
She did such a great job.
She did a great job, and it even had that, I don't know what it's called.
Crisscross.
That's what we called it. I don't know this
crisscross
what it's
top.
Called.
Yeah. The little strips.
It was a little patchwork. And I said, Addie, my grandma would be so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
You look at you. You did it, you know, because baking was my grandma's thing. And what's funny is my children know the legacy of Norma, grandma, because of how it has been protected and spoke about in a way that, you know, I asked them once to describe what they think she was like based off of what we talk about. And they both said, she sounds like the storybook grandma that would read stories with you, cuddle with you in bed, that made you things from handmade and would bake cookies with you always. I said, well, that's pretty much
it.
That's how she was, you
yeah.
know. That's what I grew up with. So it was just fun to see, you know, when we make pasties and we have everybody over, this is, you know, and everybody also knows that grandma was sassy like mom and I are. And so it's just kind of funny but that's the beautiful part of, I wouldn't say that there was a massive inheritance that they are experiencing from her financially or even, you know, there's a few things that are still in our kitchen, like this is grandma's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the legacy of her is this beautiful woman,
mm-hmm.
which is really powerful. And I think the value of an inheritance versus legacy, I think I would choose legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's, there's lots to say about Norma and Sherry's profound love for her mom.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's been 20 plus years now.
Yeah.
And
the hummingbirds. Everybody knows about the hummingbirds.
Yeah.
And how much they mean to mom because of grandma.
Yeah. And just the frequent times I hear your mom say, I miss my mom.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, you know, okay, here it is. This is like, this is what you are working on. Leaving people with a value for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And much of my time around legacy work has to do with leaders who are established in environments mm-hmm. that, whether it's a church or a business, you know, these are pioneers. These are people that generally they're pioneers, have been uh-huh. there for a long time.
It's usually they're the ones that started it.
Yep. They mm-hmm. started it.
Their investment
is built it. Yes, they've, you know, it's their baby. It's their totally. Life. It's a picture of their life right there. You know, so
this
it's
is my
no
life
small thing.
Totally.
This is, you know, I know it's not supposed to be, but that's me right over there, you know.
And it's not my identity, but yeah, it kind of is.
I have a message against, you know, worshiping yourself with an idol, you know. But there is this, it's deep. It goes deep.
You're poking at so many people.
But it's true. And they are, you know, it's time. It's come time to transition to the next layer of leaders. And mm-hmm. yeah, so when we get to this spot, you know, I'm really talking to them about, have you dealt with what you're imparting? Mm-hmm. You know, have you dealt with, you know, obviously you want the strengths of your life to pour into your team, to set them up, but you also have these constraints.
Yeah.
And these constraints quite likely are what is making it so difficult to transition. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them would be the fear of sure. being forgotten.
When their whole life work is in front of you, I'm sure that's
like
a...
the fear of someone else getting credit.
At least you said what it was, really. Being forgotten. Somebody else is going to get this credit.
Yeah, somebody else is going to get credit for what I built. Uh-huh. And there's not going to be a statue of me anywhere. No
not
one's
to worship.
No one's going to know. You know, yeah. They're going to know. They're yeah. Nobody's going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to know. If you've transferred the value for your life into these people, mm-hmm. but if they're, you know, if they're happy to get rid of you, then you're right. You know, they'll find another way to give credit to somebody else mm-hmm. for what you built. Mm-hmm. So dealing with your constraints, dealing with the fears that you have, because you'll just impart that to the next generation, your mm-hmm. fear of insignificance. Well, they'll be afraid of insignificance too.
Yeah.
You know, your fear of failure, your fear of being judged harshly. If all of that is active in you, that's going to be a part of their inheritance.
Yeah. I had this isn't a bragging moment. It was a harsh, reflective moment that my child gave me. And I'm like, okay, well, you're still young enough. Maybe I can fix this. That's what I was thinking. But
oops.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, and this is mine to own. Right? You're talking about leaders, which translates to parents, is, you know, things that we have to face and deal with. And I've known this forever. It's not new information. It's something I'm very aware of that I'm constantly working on, and I've yet to remove from my life. I would say I'm more aware of it. I'm better at, in seasons, I'm better at it. I'll say it that way. But this being critical of myself, of others, and judgmental, it's just, it's there. It's loud. It gets louder sometimes than other times. But we were talking about something in the car, and we're talking about Delaney and I were talking back and forth about just different situations of different things. And I said, you know, I struggle with being critical and judgmental, which then leads me down to a reality that isn't necessarily true. It's just what I've believed to be true. I said, and if I don't adjust it and bring truth to it, then I end up somewhere where I don't want to be. I usually end up alone. And she goes, I think you gave that to me. I was like, oh, gosh, Lord, help her. But this is that reflective of, oh, I didn't work this out, and it's on display, so therefore it's something on the table to be picked up.
Mm-hmm. And there's a couple ways to...
Can you tell me how to help fix this right now?
No, you're on your own.
I mean, the people want to know. Do you?
You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. Yes. I'm just helping everyone feel better about themselves out there.
Yep.
Out of the mouth of babes. That's what I thought.
And that's probably how you, you know, most every parent finds out almost shockingly that their kid needed a sozo. You know, their kid needed some inner healing. There was some work to do because it's affecting their child's life as an adult. And I think, well, there's two ways to receive inheritance. You know, one is through honor. Like, mm-hmm. I honor this about my parent, and therefore it comes into my life and it takes hold. I'm nourished by it, and it produces fruit. Another way to receive inheritance into your life from a parent is through unforgiveness. Mm. So when you judge your parents for their failings, their shortcomings, their whatevers, that transfers into your heart, into your life, and you now have a seed of that very defect, if you will,
sure.
that now is going to nourish your life. Mm-hmm. And so back to the things that, you know, you end up, how is this in my life? You know, how am I so critical? Yeah. How am I so angry? How am I so whatever? You're like, okay, repeat after me. I forgive my parents. And this is how it works. You have to cut this thing off from having access to influencing you, because bitterness travels through the, you know, the sins of the mothers and fathers, mm-hmm. and the fathers in particular, visit the children's children's children. And it primarily visits it by, I judged them. Mm. And when I judge you, I am held in the same standard of that judgment. It mm-hmm. gets to, the transgression gets to flow through to me. Galatians 6:1. It's or 6:2 probably. It's right there. That's where the transfer happens. And then if I hold on to a resentment, I resemble mm-hmm. that resentment.
Yeah, it's totally that I'm focusing on this thing that I don't
I'll
want.
Never be like I will never. So help me God, I will never be like my parents. And then all of a sudden, wah, your parent jumped right out of your mouth, and you are, how did you get in here?
You're not supposed
to
be here.
You kind of packed me up and brought me in here.
Yeah.
So I think the dealings with your own character flaws, that whether you inherited them from your folks or you've just cultivated them over your life, whatever, wherever it is, mm-hmm. you've got to extinguish that anxiety in your relationships going forward with whoever you want to receive this mm-hmm. inheritance. So if it's your children, or if it's your staff team, or if it's your the people that you mentor, or whatever it is, you've got to take responsibility for the fact that I've done a great job on this. I have not done a great job on this. And so please call it out in me mm-hmm. and hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to some guy talk about how we let our situations or our environments dictate whether we're a victim or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like kind of what you're saying is from our upbringing or our parents, or, you know, maybe you've cultivated this because of your environment that you've been in. But so much of getting out of this victim loop or mentality is remembering that doesn't control me unless I let it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't define how I respond or I engage unless I give it power.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, talking about legacy, and, you know, I think, you know, Lainey says this, I got that from you. And she's saying it in a playful way. She's not saying it in a harsh way in any manner. And I, you know, we were laughing, but I walked away going, okay, what do I need to adjust so I don't continue to bring this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I go, oh, I've totally, in the examples we were giving, I'm like, this was all environmental moments that I then reacted to and gave, you know, permission to control what I decided to do or how I decided to respond or whatever. But it is this, okay, I have to engage myself to look at my life as, what do I want to leave? in a way where I get to be a powerful person, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. instead of in a reactionary space, trying and hoping and clinging to these things. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be seen as a failure. I don't want to be seen, being the parenting person. I don't know how you felt, but it's now the mantle now feels mm-hmm. like it's on me. Yeah, mm-hmm. thank you. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of people know our kids. I mean, quite a few people do, but it's just so funny the thoughts that go through of, what if they make a mistake? Hello, people out there. Mm-hmm. They're making mistakes all the time, in case you're wondering.
Yep.
And does that make me any less of a parent that is good or bad? No, this is the reality of what we're in. But what can happen is that I then take on this posture of I'm a failure, which then consumes how I parent, mm-hmm. which makes a really big mess mm-hmm. because I lose all of what I actually do want to cultivate, which is being a powerful parent, being an engaged parent, being a joyful parent, being a fun parent, being a loving parent, being happy parent. Mm-hmm. All those things go away when I believe that you thinking me as a failure, when I say you, the community out there, the people that listen, man, that will change who I actually am to the people that I actually really care about.
And this is part of what makes us control freaks. You know, we become control freaks.
Whether you're a parent or any other leader.
Yeah. But I'm just afraid that what I gave you, you're mm-hmm. going to mess it up because you didn't do with it what I thought you should do. Yeah. And so therefore I'm failing.
And if you have an audience at all watching, it just feels like it's gets escalated to another level. Right.
So this is part of the transfer of legacy is I invested in you and I have no control of it, mm-hmm. which is the scary part. But I gift this. This is a gift that I gave to you. And then you squander it. It just went into the sand. Okay, well, I invested in you. I stewarded something. I did as much as I could with it. I invested in you, and you did nothing. Okay. You then took it and turned it into 10 times that. Ta-da! I am no more or less a success. My job was to get it and give it.
Yeah.
Now it's on you, right? But the thing that messes us up is we have to die before they get it because we wouldn't let go of it.
That is, one, we had this conversation with a bunch of people when we were in Reading for a conference, and I ran into a handful of people that are working with you either in transition or trying to help with the transition, and they're a lot of the feedback I kept getting was your awareness of how important it is to let go so that the ones that are supposed to receive it can actually flourish. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't flourish this if you're still holding on. Mm-hmm. But that's somehow the hope in a lot of leaders and parents is that I still want to hold on to it a little bit, mm-hmm. just a little bit. Mm-hmm. How about I just touch it?
I gotta stay in control enough so that
don't feel so scared.
I don't get forgotten.
Yeah. But if you don't release it, then there's no real exchange of that. You trust me with this gift that you said you gave me, mm-hmm. and that I don't know that anyone wants to fully develop something that they don't feel like they're trusted with. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't really feel like it's theirs.
Yeah.
Which is a really, this idea of legacy and passing the baton and all these different churches that either do it well or don't do it well, or families that do it well or don't do it well. I mean, I think that family legacy business, you're supposed to take on the family business. Well, what if they're gifted in a different way? What happens then?
Yeah. Yeah. It's mind-boggling to me is that Jesus comes, gives his, 3 years to a global, legacy-changing ministry in 3 years. In 3 years. He's 30. He starts.
He's a super rock star leader. We all know this.
He starts at 30. At 33, it's all over. This is internet, right?
All
he got was that little spot right there. Those 12 guys, and he says, "I gotta go, but I'm gonna leave you with a spirit of power." Okay, so here's the deal, and this is the question that every leader, parent, mentor should ask themselves. Do people feel more powerful after an encounter with me or less powerful? And that is the essence of a legacy, really, is that you begin to see yourself as a steward of what I've just invested in you instead of one more hook for me to control you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what fear will do. Fear will get you to put hooks in the people that you invest in so that you control your investment by controlling that person. And that's a horrible experience for the other person.
Yeah.
Whereas if I can see you as worthy of investment, good soil, if you will, and I just keep sowing seeds that, and then I help you take care of them and or hope that they take root and I become sunshine and I become rain or whatever mm-hmm. I can to cause it to nourish, then there you go. And then when I pass away, you'll find other ways. But
yeah.
I don't control you, never did, never will. And legacy is really what I leave in other people.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think, you know, one of the pieces of legacy that I think you're building right now is the Kylo community.
Mm-hmm.
You've always said, I want to, you know, a 1,000 Danny Silks or something like that. Or
it was 100.
100.
Back, yeah. That seemed like an impossible task. But
well, you probably have done that.
Keep adding zeros.
Just keep adding zeros. Which is, you know, an invitation that we want to invite everybody to is being a part of the Kylo community, which is really this great place to have personal development in whether it's business, your home, your personal relationship with the Lord. It's this wonderful opportunity where we're seeing people discover themselves and what they need and grow in ways that they didn't know they needed.
It's a community of like-minded people mm-hmm. that are all headed in, you know, whole healthy families mm-hmm. are going to save the world, you know, that direction. And they're looking at their family and they're going, what do I have to adjust? What can I invest? How can I leave a legacy in my family? Because maybe I didn't receive one, or the one I received,
yeah.
I don't want to necessarily protect, you know, I don't want to advance that.
Yeah. So, Kylo community, if you are interested in being a part of that, it's actually an opportunity you get once you become a donor, and it's $25 a month. Reoccurring is kind of the entry to this, and with that, you get access to the Kylo community and all the fun that comes with it, which is quite a long list of perks. Well,
all the Life Academy resources, this online community,
mm-hmm.
Private Facebook page. We have these events that we do
every
once
month.
A month
mm-hmm.
For that community.
It's kind of where all the it's like an insider's club. They get the first glance at things that nobody else gets. So it is. It's a fun little place to come. And so if you're interested, you want to go to the website, lovingonpurpose.com, go to give, hit $25 reoccurring, and then you get to have access. So if you're interested, check it out. It is a really fun place to see personal growth on display and kind of what we've been talking about.
Yep.
So awesome. Well, we're going to jump into questions, so we'll see you in a minute. All right, well, we're going to jump into our questions. As always, if you'd like to give us a question, you go to thekyloshow.com and record them, or a testimony. Super fun. Always love when we get to hear your voice. But today's question comes to us from Jennifer.
Does loving your kids on purpose promote children not obeying parents, or promote the idea that children know better than parents? I love the idea of honoring and respecting each other, but I think it's important for children to obey their parents. It says so in the Bible. And I'd love to understand the heart message behind loving your kids on purpose.
Well, you are the author of this book. I'm just the next generation.
I thought that was a great question, though. I mean, because either she thinks it doesn't, or she's trying to defend it and hope somebody else listens to the answer.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know, but either way, yeah, it is. I think that the confusion is when parents find out that there's a way to raise the standard in your family with less control of your children. Mm-hmm. And the idea of not forcing your children to obey you is letting them off the hook. Mm-hmm. Is kind of it's the opposite is true, which mm-hmm. is I never did have control of you. I never could force you to obey me. If that was true, there would be no disobedient children anywhere, ever. That's never happened.
Wouldn't have a job.
Started in the garden. You know, if God could control his children,
yeah.
There would be no fall of man. I mean, ta-da, we all be running around naked right now. No, we're not. You know, we are accountable to God, who neither controls me, nor screams in my face, nor grabs me by my hair, or slaps me, or bullies me, or intimidates me. Mm-hmm. I actually have one way of connecting with him, and that is through love. So the idea of creating an environment that's jacked up with fear, intimidation, and punishment, and calling that a Christian home mm-hmm. because my kids do what I say is crazy. Mm-hmm. But that's what a lot of folks are thinking. Like, oh, my kids obey me, and this is a Christian family. Mm-hmm. Like, well, no, that's probably a military installment, because soldiers obey mm-hmm. their commanders, because if they don't, they are severely punished, mm-hmm. right? To the point to where I don't care what you think. You just do what I tell you to do. Like, oh, that is not the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is very much relational, connected, oriented in love. And I would give my life for you because I love you, mm-hmm. not because I'm afraid of what you'll do to me if I don't. Mm-hmm. So Jesus endured the cross for the joy of his Father mm-hmm. on the other side of it. Jesus didn't go to the cross because he's afraid the Father would punish him if he didn't. Mm-hmm. And this is the spirit that you're after with loving our kids on purpose. Is it's a much higher standard.
Yeah.
It's much harder to accomplish as the child.
Yeah.
To win your trust, to win your permission, to win your supply. Mm-hmm. Like, because I want access to you, but it only comes through relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of, I never get access to you, really, and you manipulate me with favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. I, as the child that grew up in this since I was 8, I never had that belief that I knew better than you, or did I feel like if I demanded or was disobedient that the outcome would be in my favor. I think, you know, when I look about past, like, my upbringing, the moments where I remember, you know, one of them is in your book, when I walked away from the Lord and met that guy on the internet and all that happened. You know, you let me keep dating this guy, which I think a lot of parents struggle a lot with, because that was the problem, is I was dating this guy. I disappeared and I
And that wasn't the problem. The problem was we got disconnected.
But that's what everyone sees this as the thing that I needed to be controlled away from mm-hmm. was this boy. But you and Mom put it at, and I remember because I was faced with a similar situation with our daughter, looked different, but I had learned this lesson here, which was, you know, if you remove this opportunity completely from my life, I was just going to fight to get it back because I felt controlled.
And I don't control you.
Right.
And you were going to prove that to me.
I totally was, and probably 100 times worse. So I had access to dating this boy in our living room, which is so funny to think about, but I was happy with that level. And then I went on my own journey of discovering this isn't actually anything that I want. And the crazy part is that if you tried to tell me that that's not what I wanted, I would have been like, no, this is what I wanted. This is totally what I want. Because you said I don't want it, I want it even more now.
Totally. I'll prove it.
Which is exactly what kids do. So because I was given this, you know, there's boundaries. I think that's a big thing, that there was definitely boundaries, which was the living room. And that's where I went on the journey of discovering what I did want, because I felt like I had a say in what was going on in my 16-year-old life that I thought I knew everything, you know, in. And every exchange I have with my kids, I think I want your heart even more than I want your obedience. Because when I, you know, we have this fun stage with Lincoln, he's almost 11, and he's been a little passively disrespectful towards me and things, you know, when I ask, tell him he can't have something or we're going to eat, you don't need a snack right now. He gets angry and he takes it out on the bag of chips. But it's just these weird little displays. And so my heart is not to go after, you know, you just ruined that. You got to pay for that. That behavior is not what I in that moment, that's not my goal. It's later on, we have a conversation. What's going on with your heart when you do that? Because that behavior scares me, that there's something going on in your heart towards me. What do you need? Because I don't want to have a little boy that's disrespectful or mean to me over, you can't have a snack. Is there something that I need to adjust, or is there something that you need to adjust? And those are the conversations, but it feels like a higher level of conversation I'm having with him and requiring for him to have with me.
And you won't have those conversations if you're not connected.
Right.
You know, he will endure your lecture and walk away question. Unchanged.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you make him repeat after you.
Yes.
He will remain unchanged and more resentful mm-hmm. and more disconnected.
And so part of that conversation, Ben, you know, kind of put on display the value that Ben has for me and the value that, you know, what value do you want to have for your mom? Mm-hmm. And if someone else treated your mom this way, would you be okay with that? Is it okay to treat your mom this way? And again, we have a relationship where we get to have these vulnerable, heartfelt conversations because I want access to his heart. Because when I get access to his heart, that's where I have influence, which is where I can require we don't treat each other like this. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of levels of, I would say, obedience. I think that I don't get compliance from my kids. I get a connected obedience because they want to protect our relationship because mm-hmm. we've developed something different.
Yeah, and I will choose your way mm-hmm. because I want to protect our relationship mm-hmm. is different than I will choose your way because I want to protect myself from you.
Yeah. I don't want my kids to be afraid of me.
Yeah, I don't want my children to survive me.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, I didn't write Loving Your Kids on Purpose. I'm writing my own book. It's same difference, you know, but...
It's your stuff. It's your story.
It's very much... Me personally, I'm very aware of the impact that my children have to everyone that they're around, each other, our family, because it's really important to me that we all enjoy each other.
Mm-hmm.
and that people that are around my kids, that exchanges that happen between my kids, that there's a level of respect and enjoyment that is high. It's a high standard for us. So, but I love the question.
Yep, it's a great question.
All right, so we're going to jump into our testimony time. All right, today's testimony comes to us from Chris.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. My name is Chris. Thank you so much for the Kylo Show. I recently watched the Loving on Purpose Academy's Leadership 101 video about dreaming. That if you had 10 times the courage you have now, what would you do? What would you go after? And I honestly had a hard time with that question because of the inner religious critic that I didn't realize was there. And so I started journaling about it. And part of that process was doing one thing to step in the opposite direction of what I was sensing. If you're familiar with Dr. Caroline Leaf's 5 steps of the neurocycle, and it's called the active reach. But anyways, I knew that as I was endeavoring to just do that one thing, just do something in the opposite direction, I had to take Danny up on his activation of writing 100 dreams down. So my active reach that day was to write just 10 of the 100, just 10. And I was shocked at the results. As I was pondering what I would write, and as I talked with my coworker about the process, right in the middle of it all, I suddenly found myself running into the reason I was having trouble with this assignment. It was an unhealthy core belief that what I want is not important. And immediately I realized that was that passive mindset that Danny talks about in the communication of Keep Your Love On. You matter, I don't. And it's like, for the first time in my life, I found myself repenting of believing that lie, because really I was dismissing the desires and dreams. I have been dismissing the desires and dreams that God put inside of me. I could just sense the Lord be like, well, what if I want that for you in this process? And I'm like, well, I guess that would change it, you know? And I'm just starting this process, and I'm actually going to go and write another 10 dreams today. You know, I want to get to that 100. I'm amazed at the 10 that I already wrote. I'm like, wow, these are amazing. This is awesome. You know, it's such a freeing process. It's like this activation, just doing it, has helped bring all these concepts that I've heard from you guys and other places into this one, I guess, connecting it to the heart. Suddenly I'm like, wow, I'm feeling myself come alive. And even this morning as I was getting ready, I was wrestling with all of it again because of what I thought sacrifice was. I thought sacrifice looked like saying that version of you matter, I don't. And it's so backwards. It's not at all how God views me. He actually has a great, deep value for me, and he wants me to have the same thing for myself, not just for other people. And I was thinking about sacrifice, and I realized Jesus had the dream of uniting us back to the Father, and that took sacrifice. It wasn't just like this, you know, sudden, like, well, I just don't matter, and I'm just, because Jesus understood his value. And I'm realizing my whole paradigm of what all that means, it's all shifting, all because I just said yes to doing one thing. Just one thing. Start writing down your dreams. And I'm so excited that these are, some of them, quote unquote, the part of me that says, well, that's selfish, don't write that down. I'm like, no, I'm writing it down. I don't care. I've always wanted to visit this place, or I've always wanted to do this. It's like, I'm putting it down, and I'm excited, like Danny talks about, as I go about completing these things, I'm going to sense that kiss from the Father. Mwah, 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 you know? And I'm so excited. I really feel like God's hand is on this whole process, and it's really something that's made me come alive, and I sense it's really going to be this tool that God is going to use to propel me into my destiny even further. So I just want to thank you guys for all that you do. And yeah, I'm really excited for all the listeners. Keep dreaming. Dare to dream and dare to write it down. Such a powerful thing that your Father in heaven wants you to know. He loves you, and he has a purpose for your life. So praise God. Thank you guys so much. Take care.
Chris is preaching at the end there.
Here we go.
Go and do it.
Come on.
Being the encourager. Awesome.
Yeah. That for me, that ties in a little bit to, you know, the style of parenting is, do I create it in an environment where the child can happen in front of me? Or is it all my way or the highway, and I know what's best, and don't backtalk me, and don't you tell me that, you know, don't show me that you're different than me, because I'll punish that right out of you. And instead of, come here and happen in front of me, practice right here.
Yeah.
Let's get your momentum going from the launch pad. And then we'll, you know, you'll have momentum and character to handle all that gunpowder as you're launching off the pad here. I think that really is built into creating an environment where children feel powerful in your presence. Mm-hmm. Like the idea that I have been filled with the spirit of power and then left alone, you know, to decide things. You know, I definitely better keep checking in. I better have a connection with my father while I'm running around with the spirit of power, or I have the equipment to cause lots of damage.
Yeah.
Because if I think he's going to just come down here and grab me and shake me real hard and scream in my face to intimidate me into submission, I got another thing coming. Mm-hmm. And he very much leads me through me following him, not through him
barking at
scaring me.
Yeah. Totally. You know, I think about the 100 dreams challenge that you gave that Chris is diving into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when he submitted this question, but, you know, and how far he's gone. But it's definitely it's a process of, you know, for me, it was frustrating because I couldn't come up with more. I felt like I was in this culture that we were used to doing these things, and then I was like, "Ooh, I'm stuck." But what I remember that happened is, you know, I think in that season when I was doing it, I probably got to 25 or 50, you know, halfway. And on that list, when I reflected in just, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, so much of that had already happened, which they were all things that have been swirling around and came up in one time or another. But until I actually wrote them down, it's like they didn't have a place to land, which was the wildest part to me, was watching how many of them found fulfillment because they had pen to paper instead of just in the secret parts of my heart. Not that God doesn't obviously know this, but it was like I gave permission for the Lord to hear them by putting them on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a different experience than, sure, you know these unspoken spots in my heart and desires, but I don't always surrender them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of are held captive because I don't really believe, God, that you want these things for me. Mm-hmm. So when I put them in front of me, there's a different level of permission that we give the Lord.
And agreement, you know. Yeah. Once you make agreement with your dreams, there's a grace. There's you're trusting God with it. You're like, okay, I'll just let you see what I want. You know, I just let you have access to vulnerability, which is another way of saying I've humbled myself.
Mm.
And now comes the grace. Here's the grace. This is the partnership between heaven and earth, is that I trust you, God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there is power in setting goals and that sort of thing, writing them down, steps and, you know, SMART goals. And there is definitely wisdom and all that. But dreams are more agreements between you and God. They're more like, if you don't show up, this isn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dream. I've heard, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it. Okay, that's possible. I got some dreams that I was like,
dream it and God does it. Then you can do it. That's kind of feels more accurate.
And really, I'm searching for God's activity in my life, mm-hmm. not my super capacity to accomplish my goals. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of different motives to mm-hmm. these exercises. Yeah.
I remember one of mine was to have a son, and I think I was pregnant with Adeline. I don't know if we knew if it was a boy or a girl yet. I don't think we did. And out comes a little girl. I'm like, okay, well, that dream's still on there. And the big reason for a son, I grew up with brothers, so I actually thought I was going to just have boys. I don't know why I thought that in my mind. Maybe I was going to control the circumstances and do what I know. Nope. Had girls. But Lincoln is he's the one to carry on the Sirple name. So mm-hmm. if we didn't have the boy, then it stopped with Ben. Mm-hmm. So there was some pressure and you know, some pride to the family name. And I'm so thankful we have Lincoln and all that he'll create and develop. But I remember when that happened, I was like, oh, this is one of those dreams I couldn't have done. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't make a boy.
None of the smart goals in the world were going to...
Nothing I could do to myself would produce that option. That was only God.
Exactly.
So that he's always a great reminder of, like, this is where I need the partnership of the Lord mm-hmm. to see those dreams fulfilled. So
very
so good. Awesome. Well, I mean, this is a great way to end the New Year's week. Is thinking about dreams that you're got in your heart, you know, and
we just marched through the Marvel personal mm-hmm. growth method, you know, yep. So you could go back and review from the M to the L,
yeah,
and catch all the letters in between, and hopefully that really blesses the beginnings of your next year.
Mm-hmm. And we just pray for God's favor and blessing and just fulfillment and what he's got in store for the ending of this last year and the beginning, the new season that's come for this next year. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on The Kylo Show, and we'll see you next year.
God bless.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.